Hey everyone, and welcome to Ghoul Society.
I'm Sarah, and that's my older sister Jamie.
We are grateful to be recording on the stolen lands of the Lekwungen, Wasainich, and Songhees Nations. By listening to this podcast, you've been inducted as a member of the Underground Ghoul Society. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I was recording that.
Sarah's recording on her phone.
I just thought it would be nice if we had some early intro stuff, early days of the podcast on camera.
I think so too. Do you want a tripod?
No.
Okay.
I don't have enough storage to record to a video for that long.
Damn.
Just little snippets. I thought it would be nice, like a memories.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
In like a year.
Yeah.
Or so, look back. I mean, if we're still doing this in a year.
We will.
I would like to.
I think so.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Even if we have 5 listeners, we're doing this for us.
We are doing it for us. But it's so much fun.
I know, it's really
fun. It's really fun.
It's super fun.
I think it's a good way for us to hang out because we're always like, oh, we'll hang out so much, but then we don't.
I know. It's really sad.
Because we live so close to each other.
Yeah, like a few blocks.
Like 5.
Yeah, but you drove here.
Well, it's raining. Listen, I was going to bike, but my bike seat was so wet.
Yeah.
And I had so much equipment in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's water-resistant backpack.
Yeah.
But I was just scared.
You might melt.
Yeah, I'm too sweet. As mom would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Help, I'm melting.
I am really excited to tell you about the story.
Okay.
We just finished recording our first episode, our first ever episode, yeah, where Sarah talked about Isabella Mainville Ross. And now I'm going to share with Sarah my first episode.
I just got chills. You looked at me and I just got chills. I'm kind of scared.
I saw
it. Mine wasn't scary.
Mine is bodily scary.
No! I'm scared.
You're going to be okay. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. I know. I'm sorry. I looked into your eyes and I sent a chill down her entire existence.
You look devious.
Well, really funny that you use that word for real, though, because my story is about deviant burials.
What?
Yeah. This is so strange.
I feel like I'm going to cry.
Me too. I'm tearing up too. Sarah and I are both people that are very sensitive and very emotional.
Yeah.
And we're connected to something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what it is. And just ourselves and each other.
Just so empathetic. Well, and I think because we're such close sisters,
mm-hmm,
that we just like can look at each other and know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And when Sarah says so empathetic,
so empathetic,
she's not trying to mean it in a braggy way. She's trying to mean it in the way of an empath, of feeling things that are happening and around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of our connection to the spirit world too, I think.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it also helps that we've really grown up with paranormal, spooky happenings going on. Like, dad's side of the family, everyone is so into paranormal, mm-hmm, cryptids,
mm-hmm,
even true crime, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, like, ingrained into the family.
And they're very in touch with it, too.
Yeah.
Like, super in touch. What do you... Okay, I'm going to bring up a bit of a personal story.
Okay, sidetrack.
But do you remember when Uncle Hank passed away?
Yeah.
And we had his celebration of life with all of our family.
Mm-hmm.
And there were family members that got text messages and phone calls from random numbers. And on those messages, it said, no pain.
I'm okay.
I'm okay. Like... Mm-hmm. So strange. I'm chilling up super hard right now, but it's just so, like, how do you explain that? And we talked about it. We were in the kitchen and we were all talking about it. And we were like, how is this possible? Like, we were trying to logic our way out of it. And we were thinking like, oh, maybe before he passed away, he set up numbers, contacted people to message us, to let him know. Like, he was kind of a trickster. So I almost feel like that was something he would do. But he was super connected to the paranormal too, because my first ever paranormal experience was with him. He was babysitting us in our old house, and we were sitting in the living room, and it was late at night, and we're just sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden I smell this really intense cigar smell, and our yard was pretty big, and so it wouldn't have just been someone walking by. Like, it was in the room with us, and Uncle Hank was like, do you smell that? And I was like...
And you're like, how old are you at this point?
I'm probably eight. Yeah.
He asks a little kid, do you smell that?
Yeah. He's like, do you smell that? And I was like, mm-hmm. And he was like, that's really weird. Like, do your parents smoke cigars? And I was like, no. And he was like, that's so weird. And I was like, yup, that's weird. He was like, could it be from outside? I remember him like looking out the windows. He's like, I don't see anyone outside. And there was two people that died in that house, too.
Yeah.
And so I wonder...
That house was so scary.
That house was really scary.
I have really bad, terrifying memories of that basement.
Me too. Okay, it's really... You and I haven't talked about that house yet.
I have this one... I actually thought about it the other day.
Okay.
That's crazy. I have this one memory where... I'm biking around the house because the yard was pretty big. So we used to just bike around the property a bit. I was biking around the house. I was in the backyard. I had stopped on my bike for some reason, maybe to look at the trees. I don't know what I was doing. But I looked down towards the house and there was a really tiny basement window. And mom had curtains. It was in the laundry room. And mom had curtains hanging up, really thin white curtains. Mm-hmm. And I saw one get pulled to the side and let go.
No.
And mom said she wasn't down there.
You asked her?
Yes. Like, I think she was in the computer room and no one was down there.
I'm literally going to puke.
Yeah.
That basement.
It's a visceral memory for me to see that curtain get pulled and then released. It freaked me out. I think I ran inside and mom was in the computer room.
Like downstairs?
No.
Oh,
like in the second
when the computer room was moved upstairs.
Yeah, like the second living room upstairs.
Because you remember that she had the computer down there.
I don't remember that.
You don't? Oh, no. For a long time.
In the playroom?
No, no, in the main area. She had the computer and she had it so her back was facing the wall.
Oh, hell no.
No.
Oh, her back was facing the wall.
Yeah, so she could look out over the whole basement. That's where I played a bunch of computer games. But I wonder if she moved it upstairs because we should ask her.
Yeah.
We'll ask her tomorrow when we talk to her.
Because I remember playing computer games upstairs in the second living room.
Mm-hmm. I did too. But
yeah,
that basement is terrifying. The laundry room always scared me.
Well, and our dog lady wouldn't even go downstairs.
No.
She would freak out. We'd have our parents' friends would carry her downstairs and she would immediately run up the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if your dog won't go into a room, don't let your little kids play down there alone.
Literally.
So scary.
So scary.
And that's where the playroom was.
I know. And remember when I moved down into the basement?
Yeah, your bedroom.
And I had the absolute worst sleeps of my life. I would leave the TV on 24/7 with Scooby-Doo. It was so scary. And I would have these like visceral dreams where I was like half awake, half asleep, where it felt like my body was turning into like a Slender Man type figure.
Oh.
Like I could feel it. It felt like my arms and legs were toothpicks. It was really weird. And I remember this so intensely. And I just remember a feeling of dread.
Yes.
Like intense dread down there.
Thinking about looking down the stairs gives me that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
thinking about being in that room and closing the door and just like hoping that nothing would come into that room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we lived there, where I slept in our room, I could look down the hall into the stairwell, and the stairwell to the basement was at the front door.
Mm-hmm.
But I constantly had nightmares of the zombie in Scooby-Doo.
Oh my God.
From the zombie, the episode where it's a zombie and the witch and they're in the swamp.
Yeah.
I always had nightmares of that zombie running up the stairs from the basement into our room.
Whoa.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. That house was scary. Yeah. And Dad had experiences in that house too.
When we should ask.
Yeah. Well, when he was renovating it, he felt really spooked in that house, in the kitchen.
I've heard a lot of stories about renovating makes spirits angry.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
For sure. It makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we should ask about that.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. Anyways, how did we get there? We got there just talking about our family connection and feeling things and...
Yeah, just knowing...
Yeah.
Just, I feel like a lot of the time we have just a sense of knowing things.
Mm-hmm. Like the school teacher. Do you remember the school teacher I saw, but I didn't actually see her? She was in my mind's eye. Yes. And this is why I always psych myself out, because for my whole life, I feel like I've been able to make up quote unquote stories about people and places, and as I get older I'm starting to realize that maybe I'm not actually making them up just randomly off the top of my head.
Yeah, like you're sensing them.
Yeah, I'm sensing a story that was there and that existed, or a person that was there and that existed. And one of the things that really backed this up for me was Sarah and I were going to the Bent Mast, which is a spooky haunted restaurant. And as we were approaching, or I was locking up my bicycle, waiting for Sarah. Not that she was late, but that I was just, it's fine to be late.
I passed you in the car.
Yes. She was finding parking. I was locking up my bicycle. And I look over to the restaurant, and the front of the restaurant has these steps going up to the main front door. And I imagine in my mind's eye this school teacher standing on the steps, like 1800 school teacher, white shirt, long black skirt, like white shirt tucked in. And she's just like standing, like with her hands kind of clasped, but like lightly in front of her body.
So polite.
Yeah, really polite, but also stern. Mm-hmm. Or like that she had been through something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Just me and my imagination. We go into the restaurant, we sit down, and I pull up a website to like read more about the lore of the restaurant. And it was literally owned by this man and his wife, who was a school teacher in the 1800s. And when I read that, I was like, oh, no, I'm connecting to something a little bit deeper here. It's not just my imagination. It can't be.
Mm-mm. And you described to me what she was wearing, what she looked like, and then you showed me a picture, and you're like, this is who I saw.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, okay. And then I was looking around as if I'm going to see her.
I was hoping to see something too, but
no. I think you're more connected than I am. I think I have a good understanding of those things, and I just kind of, I'm very open with those things, but I think you
feel it more.
Maybe feel it more. You just like have, quote, the sight.
Unquote. I guess so, yeah. Which is why I'm like, yeah, I'm a witch.
Yeah.
And even both these episodes, there's been some strange synchronicities.
Yeah. Yeah. So connected. But I feel like we're always so connected in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we don't talk for weeks.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
What's your story?
My story is about the deviant burials in Ireland. Nestled along the cold waters of the Loch Key in Ireland is a small townland that has been around for hundreds of years by the name of Kilteshan. In 2004, archaeologists were excavating the space in search of a medieval bishop's palace from the 12th century. Instead, what they started to find was skeletons. Lots and lots and lots of skeletons, buried one on top of each other in shallow graves. Ew. So they're digging. By the end of their dig, they found, do you want to guess how many skeletons they found?
100?
2,500 to 3,000 skeletons. So they're like, oh, damn, this is not a bishop's palace.
This is a mass
graveyard.
Mass grave.
Yeah, like huge.
That's crazy. On top of each other. Mm-hmm. They just dug. So they dug really deep, mm-hmm. and then they just threw a body in, covered it with a couple inches of dirt.
I guess so.
And then another one.
That's what I'm imagining.
But it all was done by hand. So how deep? Do you know how deep the skeletons went?
Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
I know. And maybe there was also the bishop's palace there. But that's not what they found in the ground.
So did they ever find the bishop's palace?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I didn't.
It's a rumor.
The bishop's palace is a rumor, but what they found was a lot more intense. One of the skeletons that they found was buried in a really violent fashion. Oh. So there was this giant rock that was placed like between their knees and their hips area. So the body would have been placed down. The rock was placed on top. And then this is a trigger warning for if you get squidged out about broken bones. The legs...
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. The legs were bent and broken up around the rock.
Oh, folded around the rock.
And that's how the skeleton was found.
Okay,
so from that, you're thinking...
Wait, I'm not over that yet. Bent around.
Yeah.
The other way.
Mm-hmm. Probably like broken at the kneecap, broken at the ankle.
After death? Or do we think before? Oh, okay.
Well, after death.
That's a better, I guess.
Yeah.
But why would someone do that?
Well, they were trying to keep them down.
They thought they were going to come back as zombies?
Yeah, that's right.
Actually?
Yeah, actually.
So they were like, oh, we'll just wrap one of them around a rock and place it on top of the others, and then they can't come back?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You got it. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but this isn't the only place that archaeologists have found strange burials. And that's not the strangest of the burials, but that's one of the strange ones. So in the Czech Republic during the 1960s, there were skeletons found weighed down with huge boulders, kind of in the same way, but not with the limbs bent around it.
Okay.
In England, there have been medieval burials found with skeletons' heads removed or placed upside down or vampires. Spears through their bodies.
Mm-hmm. They thought they were vampires?
Mm-hmm. Also in England, in 2012, a skeleton was found with large nails, approximately like 3 to 5 inches, among the bones, which were believed to be shoved into the body post-mortem in three distinct areas: shoulders, ankles, and the heart.
That reminds me, I've recently started watching Game of Thrones. I thought I'd never watch this show. I'm only like a little bit and I don't know much. No spoilers, please.
Can I recommend something about that show?
Yeah.
Don't watch a whole season back to back.
Oh, we're season 4, baby. We're going strong. We're halfway through.
Don't you feel a little crazy?
Yes.
It's a lot of violence in a short period of time.
It is. But anyway, to my point, they used to torture people by pinning them to a post that's like in the shape of an X. So your arms are out, you're like splayed out. And that's what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
Getting pinned. Arms open, legs open, and then you get tortured that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that exists, and which is not quite the same as this. But also that makes me think about, which I didn't write about, so I don't have all of the facts, but they also found in England the first ever example of a crucifixion.
Oh, okay.
Where they found a body in a similar kind of way. But this one was different because there was a nail in the heart. So this skeleton was dated from 500 to 700 CE.
Oh,
so
wow.
6th
okay.
century. Long ago. Mm-hmm. And it kind of shines a light on the thoughts of the people who buried them, because mm-hmm. people were thinking that these were the dangerous dead. They were prevented from coming back with vengeance. To add on to your note about zombies from earlier, I found out those are also called revenants. Did you know that word for them?
No.
But you know the movie, Revenant?
The one with Leo DiCaprio?
I don't know. Yeah. Yes.
What does that have to do with zombies?
I don't know.
He fights a bear.
It's the same word. So I was wondering
the connection.
Oh, is
it because he can't be killed?
Yeah, probably.
Because he fights this bear off, this huge grizzly bear,
yeah.
and then he like lives inside of his horse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. That movie's intense.
It is really intense, and it's long.
Yeah. So revenants are essentially the living dead, and they're usually seen walking around graveyards or towns after they have been buried. Folklore goes that revenants often return to the place they lived, calling out people they know by name.
Oh, my whole body just caught the goosies.
Mm-hmm. As an extra little spook, if you were to be called out by a revenant, you would most likely die a few days later.
Oh, I don't like that. It's kind of also like a mimic. Have you seen videos of mimics?
No, but it's really scary that you just said that.
Calling your name.
Because
it's not.
I keep thinking about how when I was living at my friend's house when I first moved back here,
mm-hmm.
I kept waking up in the morning from my sleeps by someone going, Jamie. And it was...
Why haven't you said this to me before?
I know. I'm sorry. I wrote it down in my journal. And the names would take on different voice. Like one time the voice was Dad's voice. And one time the voice was someone else's voice. And I have that sometimes, but it especially happened when I was living at my friend's.
Jamie.
What does that mean?
Okay.
Sarah's crying.
That's a mimic.
Okay.
They're really bad.
Really?
They're like really, really bad spirits.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're not
like
good.
That. Well, I haven't heard it for a long time.
Like, you're not supposed... Like, if you hear someone call your name... And you know no one's there. It's like trying to imitate someone you know.
Yeah.
They like want to kill you or something.
What the fuck? Okay.
Obviously we need to research it more because I've only heard a little bit about mimics. But if you heard Dad's voice.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
I heard it happened 3 times.
What? Who? Do you know? Did you recognize the other voices or just Dad's?
I feel like one of them was just my own.
Oh, that's bad. That's not good.
But it was kind of like, okay, let's spin this on its head for a moment. Because it was always in the morning right when I needed to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this is great.
So did you like audibly hear it or did you hear it in your head?
I don't know because I was asleep.
Like, do you
think... And then I would wake up.
When you heard Dad's voice, could it have been your brain remembering when we were younger and Dad mm-hmm. would wake up? Because Dad usually woke us up mm-hmm. a lot when Mom worked super early. So maybe it was actually a memory.
That's what I think.
Of Dad saying, like, Jamie, kiddo, mm-hmm. it's time to get up.
Mm-hmm. But I always felt spooky at my friend's place.
Yeah.
But we never turned the lights off. The lights were always on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We need to do more research about mimics, I think, because that's really scary. And I know that they're really bad.
It was scary. Well, what am I going to do?
Well, you can help ward them off.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like evil spirits.
I have my cross up there. It's a witch's knot.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I have it in the door.
Well, I should probably have one.
Anyway, I wish I didn't tell you that because now I'm scared.
I'm really scared for you. Why have you never told me that story?
I didn't think it was a big deal because I just moved here. I was like, I'm just going through a lot. I'm really stressed out. And then I was like, oh, it's just my like stress response. And so something is just helping me wake up. Like my mind is helping me to wake up.
Well, it could be that too.
Yeah.
I hope it's that.
Mm-hmm.
because mimics are not something to mess with.
Okay, I feel like the more you say it, the worse it's going to be. Don't call it out like that.
Well, I'm not using a name.
Oh, okay. What? They have names? Their own names?
Some demons have names, and if you use them, then it's more likely that they'll come visit you. Okay. Apparently.
Apparently.
Says the lore.
Yeah. Anyways. So one notable case of revenants walking the earth mm-hmm. is the case of the Stapen Hill vampires. So there were two peasants that were living under the abbot's rule, and they wanted to move to a different village and be under the rule of a lord instead. Instead of simply moving away, because I don't think you could do that, the men stirred up a bunch of drama, created a bunch of lies and false accusations against the abbot, pinning the lord against the abbot. They stole crops from the storage and brought them to their new village under the lordship. This is where the story gets a little bit confusing.
Okay.
But apparently the lord was so angered by the accusations against the abbot that he wanted the abbot dead. But at the same time, he also thought the crops should be returned. So he sent some men along with the peasants to return the stolen crops to the monastery. There are a couple different stories from here about what happened on the monastery grounds, but the next morning, after the peasants had gotten back to the village, they sat down for some breakfast, and then bam, they were just dead. They just fell over dead.
Poison.
That's what I was thinking. So they're buried in wooden coffins the following day at the Stapen Hill Cemetery. And that night, they were seen carrying their own coffins, walking around the paths and the fields of the village, banging on the doors and walls of the inhabitant homes. I don't know why, but when I think about that, I picture like a Scooby-Doo-esque thing mm-hmm. where the coffin is like horizontal and they're just they're through the coffin.
Yeah.
And they're wearing it kind of like a skirt and they're just like walking around like, ooh.
But were they moaning is the question.
I don't know if they were moaning, but villagers were really spooked.
That's really scary.
And they were like, we gotta leave this village. So the villagers moved away from the village. A lot did, but some stayed.
Oh,
and
no.
Of some of the ones that stayed, they got permission from the lord to dig the peasants up. Upon doing so, they found that their bodies were fully untouched. However,
I don't get it. Okay, continue.
The clothes covering their faces were stained with blood. Now, they thought this meant that they were still alive. We know today that this is common in the decomposition process of a human body.
Mm-hmm.
Trigger warning for body fluids is that blood will often stain your mouth as your stomach fluids exit your body, as your body is decomposing.
Okay.
But they didn't know that. And they were spooked. So they took the peasants' bodies from their graves, decapitated them, tore out their hearts, carried their hearts to a nearby hilltop, and burned them.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So I'm gotta make sure I got this right.
Mm-hmm.
So they kill these people, they bury them, they come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying their coffins. They scare the whole village. Most of the village leaves.
Yeah.
But then the people who stayed go to the graves
mm-hmm.
and they look untouched.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Were they still in their coffins?
That's correct.
So are they apparitions?
I don't know. Are they apparitions or are they just drunk medieval people seeing things?
Also, could it be the wheat, like what caused the delusions of the Salem witch trials?
Yeah, ergot.
Yeah.
It could be. Oh, it could be. There's so much to unpack.
Okay.
So after they buried their hearts and burned them, it was said that the smoke of the burning hearts, within the smoke were two black crows that rose and flew away.
Oh.
Into the night sky. So obviously word spread. People were super worried about becoming a revenant. And people started leaving notes for what to do with their bodies after their death. They're like, hey, if you find me dead, please do this with my body so I don't become the living dead. Everyone's like, yeah, got it. We got you, boo. So in the 12th century, in Gloucestershire, William of Malmesbury wrote about a witch that was living in the nunnery in the 1060s who is so plagued with the thoughts of her body being reanimated after her death that she left these instructions. When she died, she were to be sewn up in a stag skin, placed in a stone sarcophagus, wrapped up in 3 large sets of chains and locks, then buried in the ground. Instead, of course,
oh no,
her wishes were ignored, she was simply placed into the ground.
Oh, no coffin for her.
No coffin, no stag skin, no sarcophagus, and no chains and locks.
So she came back.
Well, everyone did incantations. They're like, let's do some incantations. That'll probably do the trick. However, during the night, it was said that the devil came around on a black horse, dug up the body, and took the witch away to forever haunt the nunnery and the surrounding area.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. The devil himself.
The devil himself on a black horse.
How did he get into the nunnery? When he catch on fire?
I don't get it. As she was buried in the cemetery outside the nunnery. But it's true.
Would that be considered holy ground?
Yeah. Don't ask me, ask the devil.
Make that make sense. I thought you couldn't walk on holy ground, sir.
So true. Sir, this is Wendy's.
I've come to take this witch. Sir, this is a Wendy's.
Bringing him back to the Kiltetian burials. Yeah. Remember those?
Yes.
Okay. The name of the burials that goes against the norms of common Christian burials of the time are called deviant burial. The standard for Christian burials were as follows. They were often wrapped in cloth, no objects could be left with the body, and they would be laying down oriented from east to west. So when the world ends, all the dead in the consecrated ground will rise with the sun.
Is that how people are still buried?
In Christian burials, I believe yes. So the archaeologists, they're still digging, right? Mm-hmm. They found a bunch of bodies, but they keep coming across more bodies.
Yeah.
Until they unearth the strangest burial yet. They find a skeleton on its side with a large black rock, probably twice the size of my fist, shoved into the skeleton's mouth.
Oh no.
To their surprise, they find another skeleton with the same thing.
Is that where the saying eat rocks comes from?
That's a great question. Eat rocks. I don't know. I would love to look that up. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I love that. This is unlike any burials that these archaeologists have found before. And much like the villagers 1,000 years ago, the archaeologists are spooked. So there's a few thoughts as to why this would be. Mm-hmm. Similar to when we talked about the revenants and the living dead and wanting to keep those buried from being reanimated, mm-hmm. it was thought that the mouth is the main portal for the soul.
Yes.
So in order to keep a soul or an evil spirit from re-entering and reanimating the body after death, a rock placed in the mouth would help prevent this.
What? But why wouldn't they just sew the mouth shut, like in Hocus Pocus?
That's a great question. That to me seems creepier. And but you could easily undo the stitching of that.
But shoving a rock into a dead person's mouth?
That's a great question, Sarah. I'm like really loving all of your questions.
Like a really big rock.
Yeah. Maybe not twice the size, but like...
because you can fit your hand in your mouth.
I don't know. I don't want to try. Well, I don't want lockjaw.
No, but I'm...
but you could. Like, one could.
There can't be any gaps.
No.
And what about the nose? Can't the spirit come in through your nose?
The nose isn't the portal. It's just the mouth.
But the nose and the mouth are connected.
That's true. Listen. Look, I don't know what to tell you. The largest belief of this time is the medieval equivalent to what we know today as vampires. There's a handful of vampire stories from the early 18th century, which is more connected to our modern day vampires, but okay. The Kiltetian deviant burials seem to be the earliest example of the very real fear that surrounded the rising of the dead. Carbon dating showed that both burials are from the late 7th to the 9th century CE, which is at least 300 years before the superstitious stories of the undead within England. So before mm-hmm. the witch, before mm-hmm. those mans running around the cemetery. This time frame further lines up with the Irish penitential texts from that period, which describe the fear of the living dead, quoting that anyone believing in vampires should be put outside the church. So they had also written text about it that lines up with them finding that body and the carbon dating of that body.
But they were also like, hey, if you believe in this, get out.
I think that's what that means. Mm-hmm.
But the church is supposed to protect you from evil beings.
Don't get me started on the church.
It probably got switched around at some point. Because now people go into churches to feel safe.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the arrival of Christianity into the Kiltetian area around 600 CE may have triggered deeper fears of death and of certain types of people that may seem to be a threat after their death.
Oh.
This often arises when Christianity undercuts older established belief systems and people become unsure of what they should believe in and who they should trust.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Fast forwarding to the 18th century, I have a couple of stories for you about vampires and the impact they've had on popular culture.
Okay, hit me.
In 1731, Hungarian doctors and military surgeons were sent to a Serbian village to examine some mysterious deaths. The villagers had claimed that 17 people died suddenly over a 3-month period and that many of them had become vampires. The doctor's main mission was to quash this idea of vampires taking over, but it was becoming a challenging mission. They found that only 4 of the 17 bodies were decomposing naturally. Naturally, I use that in air quotes because it was what they assumed was natural at the time. They had found fresh nail growth, fresh blood around the mouth, and fresh skin growth on the bodies, which contradicted their medical training, which was the best medical training at the time because they were military surgeons.
Right. Well, the skin is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nails are also weird because that stops growing when you die.
Wrong.
Oh, I thought that was false. That they kept growing.
Now I don't know.
Well, now I don't know either. I thought Paul Holes.
Love Paul Holes.
Love him. I thought that he contradicted the statement that your nails grow and your hair grows after death.
Hmm. We should look that up. Because, yeah. So yeah, these guys were like, oh my god, there's new things on the body.
Oh no.
Oh no. And then it turns out that that's normal, I guess. Them finding that contradicted their medical training. And the report of vampires in this village was sent to Belgrade. And inevitably, it exploded across Western Europe, getting picked up by newspapers and community gossips and sparking fear throughout the entire continent, especially in Serbia. Did you find out?
I did. Okay, so it appears that hair and fingernails grow after death because the skin around them has retracted. I guess technically they're longer, but they haven't grown. It's just that your skin is decaying.
Oh.
So they appear longer.
Interesting.
But they didn't know that back then.
No.
So of course they'd be freaked out.
Yeah, and also the reason that the bodies were in such good shape was mm-hmm. because they were buried in the colder months.
Yes.
So the ground was literally like a deep freeze refrigerator.
Yeah.
And so they weren't decomposing like how you would think a body would naturally decompose.
Right.
So the fear was so deep around these bodies, the vampires. Vampirism,
yes.
That has taken over these bodies, that graves of recently deceased were now being opened, with bodies being burnt or beheaded to try and prevent vampirism.
Oh my.
Little did everyone know, and what we know now, is that this type of unnatural decomp is in fact super common. At the beginning of the 19th century, because of what happened in Serbia in the 18th century, writers stake their claim to vampire folklore. with the most common being Dr. Polidori and Bram Stoker. However, Polidori ends up spinning the vampire stories with a bit of a sultry twist. He makes the vampires out to be attractive, arrogant, intelligent, educated, and dangerous outcasts instead of being a thing to be feared.
Like
Edward.
What we do in the shadows.
Twilight.
Then Stoker runs with this as well. He's like, that's a great idea. And so he creates a sophisticated predatory vampire instead of the living dead. And we end up with our modern day Dracula, which has inspired countless films, books, TV series, you name it. And I'm sure there's a vampire version of it. So that is vampires and the deviant burials of Kiltetian.
That was really interesting.
Right.
I don't like how they desecrated those bodies.
Yeah, me neither.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah, and I hope that everyone who is treated in that way is resting okay.
Well, and you'd think that because of religion, they'd be like, oh my god, don't disturb their resting place. Don't disturb them.
Mm-hmm. But, well, it's kind of interesting because there's also some stories of people now, like still in the 21st century, in certain cultures and certain areas around the world where they will do the same thing. Like they do a lot of preventative measures during burials to try to prevent reanimation.
Oh, okay.
And then sometimes they believe that they see their loved ones rising from the dead and walking around at night. And so they will reopen the graves and take out their hearts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's still a practice today.
Okay, so it's still happening.
Mm-hmm. They only... I feel the religion that's against that is Christianity.
Probably.
And probably Catholicism.
Probably.
And probably a few others that I don't know.
That's wild, though, that people still do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does, right?
I mean, I guess modern day, most people get cremated.
Yeah.
Too.
That's
so
true.
I guess that's preventative.
Yeah.
Can't really come back if you don't have a body to come back to.
Mm-hmm. But do ghosts, people that are cremated, do they still become ghosts?
I don't think so, because they're burned. But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Just thinking, like, I don't, like, TV shows, like in Supernatural, when they get rid of spirits, they burn the body with salt.
Salt, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to put salt around my bed.
Yeah.
Well, we hope you liked this episode, and we hope you listen again next time. And thank you for coming.
Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or you want to share a story, we do have a Gmail.
Mm-hmm. You can Gmail us.
Gmail us.
You can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at Ghoul Society Pod. Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.